This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Budget may be screaming pre-owned inventory. Well, if it is, go to Sunbury Motors because they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Giving you the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult to handle it all with ease. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Tuesdays with Neil. Favorite time for me every week. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. So the Steelers, you know, sometimes we look at formulas, and I know they did not create a takeaway against the Chargers, and Fields did throw the interception. But when you watch Fields play, is he doing a good job, in your opinion, of staying away from the big mistake that puts a defense in peril?
Yeah, I think that's been probably the top of the game plan. Four Fields and probably every quarterback since Roethlisberger, in fact, in Pittsburgh. I don't recall them even really challenging down the field vertically. Fields did a good job spreading it around the field, which hasn't been all that typical. They've kind of attacked the boundary a bit more than usual, but they were hitting stuff in the middle of the field. They went down the seam a little bit, but I don't think he had a throw, maybe one more than 12 yards. And what that's really saying is we don't want to throw into cover two. We don't want to challenge their safeties, their playmakers down the field with a field-flipping type of play. You know, even if we can get that field-flipping opportunity, we're probably not going to take it because we want to maintain possession and give our offense a chance to control the game with what we want to do, which is run the ball. I don't know how successful they have been running the ball overall. I know that they're down at least, you know, two legitimate starters, with the third, I would say, that Zach Frazier was going to be the starter of this team at some point or other. But Isaac Ciamalo has been out. Troy Fatano is supposed to be the starting right tackle. Now he is out. It's not working overall, I think, but Fields has been kind of the glue that's kept it together, just because he's played better each game, I think. Good decision making. His accuracy has definitely improved. I was a little worried there at the first game. I think there were some nerves that he's worked out, and I think Arthur Smith has done a great job constructing something around Fields and what Fields is comfortable with. It's not exactly the same stuff each week, and they are sticking to a plan that is working come the fourth quarter. They get the splash play from Calvin Austin, did a great job seeing the throw, seeing the lane that was there, and then Austin, as fast as he is, being able to get his shoulders upfield and make a big play. They're putting all of that together, and it's making an offense that generally has not been successful drive to drive, short of getting an outstanding season from their kicker. It's giving them the opportunity to let their defense dictate the terms of the game, which they absolutely did once again. I mean, you're looking at it's weird. The conversation is all about Fields. It's all about the offense, and you're looking at I don't know how many times in the last 20 years the Steelers have had a three-game run of defensive dominance the way that they just did. Now everyone's going to throw the quarterback that they're facing up against them. I don't know. I saw Justin Herbert out there for the majority of the game. I saw Justin Herbert do next to nothing the entire game. They're locking him down. They're playing great football, three depths of the defensive field, and it's allowing Fields to really just kind of say, I'm going to take this because it's there. There's guys coming in. I can try to make a play with my legs. We'll see if something happens with that. Otherwise, we're going to live to play another down. We're not afraid of punting. We can play defense with this team. We can take the ball away. And like you said, they might not have done that against the Chargers, but they came close. Patrick Queen had the ball in his hands. I don't know how he didn't lock that one up, but they're going to make plays on the ball. They're going to hit the quarterback, and they're going to put their offense in a position to take control of the game late, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned the takeaway thing is that normally the formula is you're even or you're plus on takeaways, and it just turns out, ironically, that was a game they didn't get any. That's just an ironic thing. But your point about the ability to lock teams down, that's the part that strikes me, is that no matter who they play, Neil, they're locking down. No, they're taking away the best players. They're forcing teams to go with guys that are not the best players as options. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, overall, everything, and rightly so, is about J.K. Dobbins heading into that game. Dobbins didn't do anything, you know. Herbert went out. We saw that Herbert went out. But what was funny to me, I don't think Taylor Heinicke did anything. He may as well have just thrown the ball at the ground. The Steelers' defense basically made their entire offense tap out by that point. You were starting to see... when Nick Herbig is heating up, he's getting two sacks. What a great pass rusher he is, incidentally.
Isn't he?
Obviously, it's fun to watch T.J. Watt play, but Herbig is a high-level yep. pass rusher. I mean, he really is. Putting
loved
him
in
the
him
game,
at Wisconsin.
That added emphasis.
Yeah, I really liked Herbig. I liked a lot at Wisconsin. When he played there, I thought, this guy's going to be a really good NFL player.
Yeah, the fact that he's able to fill in for a player like Alex Highsmith and have a better yep. game in less time really goes to show that schematically what the Steelers are doing is working well. The players that they have are fitting in well with what they want to do, and it's paralyzing opposing offenses. And maybe this is just me where my lens is focused, but looking around the rest of the league, you're seeing the overwhelming majority of the NFL looking like that offensively. It's strange. You know, you've brought up in this segment cover two and what teams are doing with that. It's having an impact, but it's like an offense doesn't know what to do if their primary stuff isn't working anymore, and defenses are having no problem just putting the foot on the gas and continuing to go. You have to wonder how much of it is just an overwhelming defensive schematic victory above anything else. You know, with the Steelers, obviously, there are players. They can make plays, but it just looks like the opposing offense is so confused. They don't know what's going on. They're hanging on to the ball really long. They're not all making good decisions with the ball. So what that brings me to is, obviously, you have super freaks like Josh Allen who are you know, immune to all of this, as it turns out. But by and large, the teams that are winning the most games right now are the ones with quarterbacks that don't have eye-popping numbers, but they don't have mistakes either. Fields, I mean, you know, you'll get an interception here and there, but put Fields up against, for example, C.J. Stroud, a player that everyone anointed as, you know, a three-time Super Bowl champion after a good rookie season. The Minnesota Vikings completely destroyed him on Sunday. For what I have seen of Stroud, a player that I really like, we have not seen him look as confused, as out of place and as uncomfortable as what Brian Flores and the Vikings defense did to him. Justin Fields is not seeing that. They're not doing right to him what other quarterbacks are having done to them. And it makes you wonder, is this a season where we're going to see kind of more, you know, style of football from 20, 25 years ago, more defensive-based, successful running, if not individual dominance in running, and quarterbacks that are there to not turn the ball over, to manage the game. I hate that phrase, but do what you're supposed to do within the plan and make the plays you're supposed to make. We're not going to have to take a lot of chances if this game is going to be 17-13. We don't want to make the killer turnover. We're, you know, as opposed to the wide open spread area in which quarterbacks are fine if they have two interceptions because they're going to throw five touchdown passes and 500 yards. That doesn't seem to be what teams are doing now to win. And the teams that are trying to do that, they're not being all that successful, with the exception of Buffalo, of course. There's always got to be one. It's to me, the best teams overall right now, they're getting good play from their quarterback, but it's more not in a statistical sense, but more in a protection sense. They are maintaining possession of the ball, and they're putting the ball where it needs to go and picking up yards, over drives, over time, and eventually they're going to hit on something like the Steelers did. So as far as Fields is concerned, I mean, it's almost like this type of game across the league fits him really well. If they can get him to do these things, he has the athleticism to save a few plays. He's got strong enough of an arm to hit on a third and long here and there. And if you're managing him well, he can make the right decisions of where to go with the ball, even with a pretty mediocre group of receivers. And a Steelers offense that really lacks pop overall can manage to win games 20-10 and have it seem like it was pretty one-sided the whole time.
And that's they're controlling the game. In other words, the Steelers are the ones, to me, Neil, that, and whether it's how the offense is playing, because they're eating some clock as they do this, they're not, for the most part, turning it over. They're staying away from the big mistake. Their defense does its job. The Steelers are controlling the tempo and tone of every game they play in right now, and it's frustrating the opponent.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. It's Jim Harbaugh, it's early in the season. He's not going to go out of his way to express a whole lot of frustration, but you have to think, at a point in the fourth quarter, it's like, we haven't done anything all day. Nothing has fallen for us all day. And it's not like we haven't done well defensively. That's a good defensive team. They did some things. Derwin James, I think the lawman finally caught up to him.
Yeah.
A few of those hits were kind of like, whoa, you've been talked to about this before. Something's coming. So, you have that intimidation factor. They played well defensively. They're a good team, and they're going up against you can't be intimidated by the combination in a pass rush sense of Dan Moore and Broderick Jones right now. So you'd think they'd get after the passer a little bit more, but they didn't do enough to confuse Fields the way the Steelers' defense confused Herbert and completely shut down Heinicke, whatever it is that he even did in the time that he was in there. So you almost have to think, it's like they never got out of the garage. They never got a chance to get moving. And that had come fourth quarter, when all of a sudden now that the Vikings have, or that the Steelers have the splash play, you have to think that from a Chargers perspective, it's got to be maddening that they were unable really to do that all game. And the touchdown play was pretty nice, a good read, a good play call, kind of confused Minkah Fitzpatrick a little bit. But beyond that, they really didn't have chunk plays, and none in the second half. And I think that, above anything else, has been the Steelers' calling card to this point. Frustrate them all game to a point where the battle of attrition really pushes in their favor over the final 30 minutes of the game. And we've seen them, they completely destroyed Atlanta in the opener in the second half, and they shut down Los Angeles pretty good in week three. So you're looking at, overall, I think, a team that is keeping their head, they're keeping their composure, and they want to play this style of ball. If you're used to running up the score and that's not happening to you, I think frustration can set in. But if anybody's used to not scoring points in the NFL right now, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
right.
In that way, it almost kind of, this is what they've been building for. As odd as that is, we'll see if a three-game losing streak comes next. You're still not entirely sure how this team is going to hold up long term, but with a defense like that, you're not going to be easy to beat. No one's going to want to play you. So you have to think they've got a puncher's chance of winning a pretty good chunk of games the way that the first three have gone.
Well, defense and a place kicker. I mean, they get the ball to the 35-yard line, which is not the red zone. They feel pretty good they're going to get points. I mean, you don't have to drive the ball that far to get points in the Pittsburgh offense.
No, not when you have a kicker that seems to be getting better. He's longer.
Yeah.
I remember there was a time when Boswell was shaky at best at 50 yards. Now they're trotting him out there for 57, and you feel like he's got a pretty good shot at it. So with that in mind, with their ability to, you know, take the ball away, I think it speaks to the idea then that if you've been playing the game to hold on to the ball, grind out yards, high completion, low sack pass attempts, even if your guys are not making plays after the catch, which with the exception of Calvin Austin, no one's really doing that.
Right.
You can set up 15 yards in eight plays and, you know, kick a long field goal and be able to get points out of the situation that you're in. That's almost like a touchdown for the Steelers' defense. Mm-hmm. You trade out possessions like that, you're able to defend deep the way that they have been. They haven't given up a big play, I don't think, this season. 25-plus, maybe something around that mark, but nothing 40. You're taking a team's ability away to engage in an explosive plays game, which is really how Pittsburgh has lost, certainly in the playoffs the last couple of years. If they can hold teams away from that, they have to be real happy with the ability to cut, you know, almost, you know, 20 yards on each side of the field out and let your kicker be able to go from 55 and in. It gives them the opportunity to create more points for themselves. Even though that hasn't really materialized in comparison to last year, overall their third down numbers are a lot better. They have better possessions overall. They're holding on to the ball longer. These are all positive stats, and I think, you know, getting back to the main point, Fields can be credited with a lot of that. You know, you don't even have a Deontay Johnson anymore. They're trying to get George Pickens the ball. He's getting, I think, six targets a game to this point. Doesn't catch a whole lot of them, makes a couple plays, has some stuff turned back on garbage penalties. But they don't have, like, a primary guy to go to. I think Najee Harris is second in targets right now, and the next time he catches the ball more than 3 yards down the field, it'll be the first. So it's something they're going to have to grind out. I think that they know that. And having that reliable kicker is really going to be the difference. And I, to an extent, I think that has been so far. You know, their opponents are making kicks as well, but Boswell's been pretty lights out, and they're probably going to need more of that as they continue.
It's interesting, you know, in the simplistic world of covering, you know, talk shows, round tables, things like that, they always talk about the cover two concept. Always. That's all I hear. Cover two, cover two, cover two. Like, it's all the coordinators. Newsflash, you have to actually have people that can play it. You'd be shocked. I can run two high school players out there playing cover two in the NFL, and they're going to be beat like a drum. Okay. What is it about the Steelers' safeties as to how they play cover two that makes it an effective Steeler defense?
If I were to break it down, I think there are multiple layers to that question. If I were to break it down, I think what you're going to find is this isn't Tony Dungy's cover two. You know, this isn't the Tampa two where it's two guys back and you're doing what you're doing underneath. They're running a lot of three safety looks. They're running a lot of dime looks. It's a matter of how they're using the other linebackers. And if you want to credit anyone other than T.J. Watt, of course, to the defensive success of the Steelers on the field, as far as their personnel is concerned, it's somewhere between Patrick Queen and Landon Roberts. They're both playing very, very good football, and it's in coverage. You're seeing them drop a bit deeper, I think, than the linebackers have the last couple of years for the Steelers. Their inside linebackers have been kind of an Achilles heel for a variety of different reasons. Queen has played better at that position than anybody they've had since Ryan Shazier, and that's exactly why they signed him. They needed to bring somebody in that could be that all-downs alpha linebacker, and he's playing very well. You know, he's getting dogged last week for not really making any splash plays. That's fine. He's around the ball all the time. Get him near the ball. That's great. He's attacking the edge on runs. He's able to fill gaps. He's an emotional leader of the team. Like I said, I still can't believe he dropped that one ball. Absolute, you know, considering the heat that he's taken for not making a play, that would have been a great one to make, and it was a great time for him to have done it. But he's playing great football. That, I think, is giving them more ability to split their safeties, which, keep in mind, they're also playing four safeties. They don't usually play that many safeties throughout a game. And you're not doing What I think really is Minkah Fitzpatrick's best, which is, you know, that solo center field cover one type of look. They're more effective overall as a defense in cover two. You're probably going to limit the amount of plays that Minkah's going to make in that, but it creates kind of a funnel to the middle of the field. And if Queen is in there, Roberts is in there, and they're able to make plays, they're able to be aggressive in coverage, there's even more that you can do up front. And you're still getting high-level play from Cam Hayward. Obviously, T.J. Watt is who he is. I thought Highsmith was playing well until he got hurt. And you saw what Herbig can do in Highsmith's absence. You're also seeing the continued emergence of Keanu Benton up front. I think they have a lot of guys that are playing very well within the structure that they have. I think the thing that's keeping it all together as far as a cover two look goes is their linebacker's ability to drop vertically, to cover the flats, and to attack downhill in front of them. It's making it really hard for teams to find anywhere to go with the ball on an easy throw, an easy opportunity. It doesn't mean that they're never going to give up a pass, but this team's allowing 160 yards a game passing. And they're facing more runs than anybody in their top five in sacks. So it's a unit that's highly productive play to play. And for me, I think obviously with T.J. Watt is everything, but the ability of Queen and Roberts and the way that they have played, the way that they have handled their business on either side of each other has been the catalyst for the entire unit to have improved the way that it has.
Wonderful. Incredible as always. Sir, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong on the show today. Lauren Tate next half hour, Champaign News Gazette, where he has covered the Illini for decades. We'll talk to the great man next half hour. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.